Continuing in the book of Ephesians, this message I'm going to call the prayer of the fruitful Christian for the fruitful Christian life. The prayer for the fruitful Christian life. There was a day when a number of people in the city of Ephesus heard talk of a man named Jesus. What specifically they were told about Jesus, we can be certain of. They may have heard some things that, you know, specific things we haven't known or heard, but we can be sure that they were told things that are recorded in the Word of God for us today. Obviously, you know, we don't know all the circumstances. We do know that, you know, Paul, I believe it's, I'm not sure if Paul was the first one to go to Ephesus, but, you know, I didn't research that. But we do know that someone went to Ephesus and preached Jesus Christ. They didn't have the complete scripture as we have, obviously. I mean, this was all, they had the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament books, I believe. I don't know when the other ones were written. But nonetheless, what is recorded in this word, not in the book of Ephesians necessarily, I'm talking about the Gospels, all the accounts. They were hearing things about Christ that you and I can read today in the Word of God. They heard things such as Jesus being born of a virgin. They heard things such as Jesus doing miracles, which I'm going to go through, just briefly talk about a couple of them. Turned water into wine. Jesus Christ, this man Jesus they heard about, brought a young girl back from the dead. This man Jesus they were hearing about, he healed all manner of diseases. He stilled storms, walked on water. And also surely they heard that this man Jesus was the Christ of God. And hearing that, in other words, they hear this Jesus is the Christ. So inherently in that, they had to say, well, what is the Christ? What does Christ mean? What is His function? They learned that. Someone had to teach them about the Christ. They heard that this man Jesus was calling people to repentance from sin. They learned through this preaching, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, that they had individual sins. They had sins in their heart. They learned that it wasn't just, you know, I'm going to be the best I can be. They learned that when they looked at the law, the moral law of God, that they were guilty, that they had broken these things in their heart. They might have heard the parable or the thing that the message Jesus said when he said that if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery. So the fullness of the gospel was coming to them. They learned of their sin. They learned of their guilt. They learned that what's going to happen with this guilt. They learned that there was, obviously they knew there was physical death, but then they learned that there was a place called hell and a spiritual death that is infinitely terrible, but yet deserved. They started to have conviction. But at the same time that they heard and believed the testimony of their sin, although, you know, everybody has degrees of how much they can sense their sin, and that grows over time, I believe. They believed the testimony of their state. They were believing the word they heard. But at that same time they were being convicted, they heard that this Christ of God came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. All right? They learned that God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. They learned that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God, and that although He never sinned, He was made sin for us, that we might be made righteous in Him. They learned that they could not earn nor did they have to earn acceptance with Jesus. In other words, they didn't merit something to come to Christ. All right? But that Christ came freely, sent by God, to purchase them, may I say, in their filth, but from their filth. All right? In other words, we don't spruce ourselves up to receive Christ. Christ came and received sinners. All right? That's where, you know, you can rest in that, because, you know, if we try to spruce ourselves up at all, we're short-circuiting the gospel. The gospel is Christ. Yes, He calls us to repentance, but He receiveth sinners. And that's a blessing. They heard these things. They heard that He Himself, meaning Jesus, he told them. It was His words that said, believe the gospel. All right? They heard that He was the Son of God. They, you know, they were learning things that we now have in this scripture. They learned that He said that him that comes to Me, I will in no wise cast out. In no wise cast out. They heard much of the crucifixion and death of Jesus Christ. They heard much of His bodily resurrection from the dead. So they were hearing this account that was being brought to them. And what? They received the testimony. In other words, that something was being told them, and they were believing it. They were saying, well, they might have had questions. Well, how did this happen? How do you know He rose from the dead? And obviously they would say, well, we saw Him. Or if they didn't see Him personally, they would have said, well, our close personal friends, the Apostle John, saw Jesus. He touched Him. I know it's true. And the Holy Spirit worked in their heart, and they believed these truths. And then I'm going to look at a verse in Ephesians chapter 1. It's verse 13. This is kind of odd the way I'm approaching this, I guess. This is the background. And look at verse 13. I'll read it. It says, in whom, meaning Christ, you also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the word came to them, they believed it, right? This happened before they received this letter. So this is the initial thing that happened. Then, a time later, this letter was written. In other words, this wasn't, I mean, maybe some people, but this letter to the Ephesians was not the first thing they heard of Christ. They heard the gospel of salvation. They heard these things we talked about Christ. And then Paul writes them this letter. Now, in this letter, Paul is giving them the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit wrote the scriptures. He's giving them much more detail about what had happened, you know, in them believing this truth. It wasn't just chance that all this happened. God had planned and performed the entire salvation. It was Him that saved Paul, or whoever went up to Ephesus first. It was Him that sent them to the Ephesians. It's God that did something in their heart to receive the testimony. They were believing things they did not see. And then within this letter, the first two chapters, Paul's going into the great depths of the work of God in salvation. How it happened. They were chosen in Christ. He adopted us by choosing to adopt us. And my intention is not to go through this whole thing. This is kind of all background. But in conclusion to the introduction, what we read earlier, verses 19 to 22, and I'll just read it again. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God. Then he goes on, after he goes into some depth about their salvation, kind of changes gears. He says, for this cause, I, Paul. For what cause? What's he talking about? Well, the fact that they received the gospel, they trusted in Jesus Christ, they believed him, they were saved by the grace of God, as is detailed in chapters 1 and 2. For this cause, I, Paul. Then he's going to a point, right? I mean, if you say, for this cause, I, Scott, I'm going to say something. I'm going to get to some kind of point. But he makes a diversion right there. I don't believe I'm wrong on this, but there is a chance of that, obviously. But hear it out, I guess. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. He doesn't finish that statement. He starts describing a bit about how he fits into the picture of their salvation. All right? As a minister, he reverently discusses his calling. He discusses the grace given to him to perform his calling. And he discusses some general objectives of his calling. And this all happens between verses 1 and 13 of chapter 3. He says, for this cause, I, then he takes a diversion, kind of giving you like a parenthesis, I guess you'd call it. And then he gets back to what he was going to say in verse 14. I think he's repeating what he started in verse 1 in verse 14. So he goes, in other words, for this cause I, stated in verse 1 of chapter 3, is restated in chapter 3, verse 14, and then he starts getting to the point. All right? So for this cause, what cause? We already talked about that. You're saved, you believed on Christ, the grace of God worked it all. Then he goes in, I, Paul, this is who I am, this is what I'm doing, this is why I'm doing it. But he gets to the point, and I'm really wondering if this section I want to cover is really the point he wants to get to in the book, and then everything around it kind of feeds into it. For this cause, I, Paul, and then we get into the text I've really been burdened about. This is, again, and this is verses 14 to 21. I'll read it to you. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout ages, world without end. Amen. This is where I want to focus. That was kind of a long introduction, but just kind of a background. But this, in essence, is a prayer. A prayer placed here by the Holy Spirit. I believe it contains, in essence, promises for us. All right? I'm convinced that when God answers this prayer in a greater measure in your life and mine, we'll be be truly living the Christian life in fullness. So I said it's a prayer for fullness in the Christian life. I really think it's a gem given to us by God. Let's look at each one of these passages briefly. We already went over for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's Paul basically saying, you know, because you've been saved, and including everything involved in being saved, I'm praying to God. All right? And he gives verse 15. I'm praying to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. In other words, you know, those who are the household of God are under Jesus Christ. In Him. And, you know, there's a lot of depth to that. But here's the first petition, verse 16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That He would grant you. So this is something that God gives, right? That He would grant you something. I mean, that the language there is pretty clear, that He would grant you. And if it's something He grants us, is it not something we can seek Him for? It's being prayed for by the writer of this epistle. So just keep that in mind, that something that He grants, according to the riches of His glory. That could be, I guess we could say that's the greatness of what He's revealed in Jesus Christ. There's been a lot, according to the riches of His glory. He's revealed some great riches in Christ. Those have been revealed. That may be what it's referring to when it says glory. The riches of His, the greatness of what He's revealed in Christ, that's ours. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. What a blessing that is. To be strengthened in the inner man by His Spirit. What would that do for you? What would that do for me? To have that a continual living reality. We'd be fortified against indwelling sin. If you're strengthened in the inner man by God's Spirit, the flesh is not going to have much sway. You're going to be strengthened. You're going to be living victoriously. We'd be strengthened against the world's pull, right? Against the world's influence. In other words, the things we see around us, the things that tug at us so easily, if you're strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, it's not going to have that pull. There's going to be a difference, all right? We'll be more interested, much more interested in the things of God. That'll be our joy. That'll be our focus, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. We would be confident in the truth. If you're strengthened inside, the truth is going to be there. You're going to be confident in it. You're going to be able to tell it to people. You're going to enjoy it more. You're being strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man. We'd be able to bear each other's burdens. Instead of just barely being able to struggle through our own, right? I mean, how much are you able to give out of yourself when it seems like you're struggling so much on your own? Well, if you're strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man, you're going to have strength. Even if you don't feel the strength, there's something, again, it's a spiritual thing God does. He grants us. Your emotions, swinging emotions, your doubts, your fears, would all be in check by the Spirit of God strengthening you in the inner man. You'd have inner energy to serve. What a blessing that just that one passage. How broad that one, God answering that one prayer, how broad that would impact your life. to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. When we move on, the riches get greater, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Yes, we believe in Him, but again, hey, it's right here. This is being prayed for to people who are already believing. All right? So there's no contradiction. It's not like, you know, you're not glorified instantly. Let's put it that way. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Oh, to have the Good Shepherd always so near in your breast. Right? Notice it says to dwell, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. A constant presence in your daily life. In routine living. Not necessarily in religious things you do all the time. Things that we call, you know, religious things. But in normal things. All right? In driving to work and taking out the trash. Repairing your vehicle. Mowing the lawn. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. I'm just going to read a passage in John. You don't have to turn there. It's kind of just like a support passage for this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. I'm reading in John 15, 4 to 7. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him. Do you hear that? He that abideth in me, and I in him. The same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide in me, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Abide in the Lord, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Again, the writer here is seeking God for this, for those believers. Right? What promises? You know, having the constant presence of the Good Shepherd leading you in everything you do, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. His unconditional love, His mercy, His forgiveness, His constant guidance and comfort. That's part of what it means, Christ dwelling in your hearts by faith. Not because I feel like I'm in a good mood. It's because Christ dwelling in your heart by faith. And that same verse says that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Now this is a byproduct or a result, if you will, of Christ dwelling in your heart by faith. Brother and sister, think of that. Everything we do, when this is answered, when it's being answered, as we grow in its answer, as God is granting it to us, everything we do is in response, is in a response of love, all right? Because we're rooted and grounded in love. In other words, there's the root, there's how, why you're responding. No more dry duty. What a blessing to be rooted and grounded in love. I mean, all these things just compound to be a fullness in Christ. Think of that. Duty is good. I'm not saying we shouldn't do duty when we don't feel like it's springing forth out of love. I often think of the passage the Lord brings up that He says, two sons were asked to go into a field. One said, I'm going to go, and he doesn't. The other says, I'm not going to go, and he does. All right? Which one did the will of God? The guy, the one who went and did the will. But what does that tell you? He didn't want to go. He was like, I'm not going. But then he's like, ah, man, I got to go. So he did the will of God even though he didn't want to. The other guy, Yeah, I'm going to do it. Doesn't go. So, duty. We'd rather do duty because we have to do duty than not do it. But the higher ground is what? Doing it out of love, right? Being rooted, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Another aspect of that is no more doubting His love. You're rooted and grounded in it. He's dwelling in your heart by faith. You're being strengthened by His Spirit. Oh, what blessing. You would live and serve in peace and joy of your Spirit, I'm saying. It's not like there's not going to be any problems. But God, He is such power in Christ. The Holy Spirit can do such work. This is a reality. This can be and will be a reality. These are promises, guys. Being rooted and grounded in love. You would love God and others. You would be tender. You'd be caring. You'd be more joyously laboring. You're rooted and grounded in love. And again, it's all springing forth. These things all build on each other. It's because you're being strengthened by His Spirit in your inner person. It's because Christ is dwelling in your hearts by faith. And again, another great truth, rooted and grounded in love. Then we move on to verse 18, which is tied to 17. Like I said, they all build on each other. That ye... Well, I'm kind of reviewing. That ye being rooted and grounded in love, and again, it's still that ye, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And that's referring to Christ's love. Okay. Comprehending that. Now, to be loved by someone is one thing, right? That's a good thing, to be loved by someone. But if you're comprehension, if you lack comprehension of that love, in other words, if you're not taking it in, if for some reason you're not seeing it, you're losing out. Yes, I'd rather be loved than not comprehend it, but again, higher ground here. We want to comprehend it. All right? And here's a prayer for it. It's listed right here. That you might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. Now, once we start comprehending, as the passage says right here, it says we're recognizing that there's somehow different aspects of His love. All right? There is a breadth, a length, a depth, and a height. I'm going to give you an analogy. These aspects of love are describing something about it. And it's not my intention to go into that. I think I remember Pastor Owen talking about those aspects, breadth and height and length and depth. But I'm not doing that. But I'll give you an analogy. I just want you to know that these aspects are there and that we'll be comprehending them. The aspects, they make a difference. There's different aspects of love. Think about a person, a human being. A person has a height, they have a weight, they have a girth, meaning like your waist size. All these things help you to get a visual picture of that person, right? Right. Well, if I told you there was a man that was 7'4" tall, had a waistline or girth of 21 inches, you would correctly think this human looks like a beanpole, right? That would be a very small, that's about this big around, 7'4", right? Okay, so those are dimensions. On the other hand, if I told you there was a man that was 4'2" tall, had a waistline of 56 inches, you'd correctly think this man resembled a washer or dryer, basically. Very wide, very stout, okay? So, in other words, aspects of love have... There's something about it. Once you start learning what breadth means, there's some aspect of that that benefits you, all right? Breadth. Maybe it crosses all areas of your life. And I guess I'm going into it a little. But it has a benefit. That means you'll realize in your life, well, I'm not outside of his love, doing chores at home. It's not just that he loves me when I go to church. It's breadth. There's a breadth to it. Length. It's not just yesterday. Continues on. Right? That's an aspect that'll help you. It benefits you. It's a blessing. Something that is good for you to comprehend. The depth. In other words, the most terrible thought you have, the most wicked sin you've committed in the past, any sin you'll commit in the future, the Lord does still love you, even though that happens. The depth. And the height. Well, I guess without researching or thinking much about it, I guess that could be, if you are, you could apply that a lot of ways. If you're successful, he'd still love you. Or the height is just the vastness. I don't know. But in any case, my point is, this prayer of you comprehending that love and what these things mean, it's going to bless you. It's going to help you. It's going to add to the fullness of your walk with Christ. All right? That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. What a prayer. Now to verse 19. Again, it's directly tied to 18. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So this is something more than just comprehending. All right? You can comprehend something. I mean, that has some significance, comprehending something. But to know it, it's something more intimate yet. All right? It's like a union. It's a common thing. I mean, this is used, I guess, in the scripture about a man knowing his wife. I mean, there's an intimate union there. So, in any ways, this to know the love of Christ, there is a real living connection there. A real union. It's beyond comprehending, I believe. All right? It's going further. And when you know this love of Christ, as it's discussing here, not that I can describe it. I can tell you it's a union. I can tell you it's wonderful. I can tell you it's deep. But when you know it, what does it say? It says that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What a pinnacle. What a mountaintop, right? These things are phenomenal. And I'm burdened for this. I'm burdened for you, all of you here. I pray this for everybody here. I prayed it for myself. Do I have license to? Well, hey, it was prayed for by the writer of the book. And so I know it's God that's giving us this prayer. God teaches us what to ask for. All right? These aren't self-generated things. I was talking to the young boys this morning about, reading through the scripture, and in it, boy, God teaches us the things we ought to be wanting and asking for. And like I was telling them, this was the young boys example. When you guys get up in the morning, you could say, well, I mean, I'm not saying you do this, but maybe they pray to God and say, oh God, help me to have a good day of playing video games, right? They might be praying to God, but is that something we're finding in the Scripture that is what our hearts should be looking for? Help me play video games all day. Or, help me to do such and such a thing. Well, we need to be taught the things we should be wanting. Our hearts should so want these things in these 4 or 5 verses. Let's make that by His grace, because He's given it to us. Let's make it part of our petitions to God. And again, I'm convinced this is the fullness of the Christian life when these things are answered. So, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. How can that be? How can we be filled with all the fullness of God? That sounds like, I don't know, it just sounds like something too big. Can we be filled with all the fullness of God? But it's here. Here it is. It's written right there. You can look at it when I'm gone. You can look at it when we're all gone. Well, you can look at this anytime in the Scripture. To be filled with all the fullness of God. The mountaintop of existence, the mountaintop of the Christian life, to know the love of Christ and be filled with all the fullness of God. You guys want this stuff for yourself? I mean, or do you feel like you've arrived in receiving all these blessings? These people believed on Christ, and yet they're being prayed for to receive these blessings. I think it's important to note that. But there's even more. All right, we've got to we're to the pinnacle of the Christian life, to know the love of Christ and to be filled with all the fullness of God. But there's more. I can't explain it. But this is what we've gone over so far. The heights of the Christian life. The fullness of the Christian life. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith. That we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. To know, meaning to be united, to live in it. It's the most real thing. Really, to know the love of Christ, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. I'll admit it. That's about the best I can think. That is the best. That I can't think of anything more than that. But yet, what do we see in the next verse? Right? I want you to catch this. We've just read some things that make us think some grand expectations of God, right? I mean, how can you be fuller than having the fullness of God? But He says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now wait a minute. We just thought some really good things here. But He's saying somehow, I don't know how, He can do more than that. He can improve upon that. I don't know how. But I do believe it. He says it. I guarantee He can do this, whatever it means. So He can give us every one of these things. He's laying it out for us to ask Him, right? These are blessings. Let's lay hold of them. But somehow, Christ our Lord is able to do above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Therefore, I guess the next verse fits right in. I mean, you can't believe it. Therefore, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout ages, world without end. Amen. I mean, it fits. It fits there. Brothers and sisters, do you want to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man? Do you want Christ to dwell in your hearts by faith? Do you want to be rooted and grounded in love? Do you want to comprehend all these aspects of Christ's love for you? Do you want to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God? I know the answer, but let's ask Him. Here He's given. I mean, this is a great overture of, here's what you should be looking for. Here's what you should be asking for. And I can do it. And I can do more than that. This is the prayer of the fullness of the Christian life. I believe that. And all this fullness is found in Christ. All right? This is not just some amorphous, non-tangible thing. All this fullness we need is in Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Just pray this in your life, guys. Pray it for the church. What happens when God answers this in everyone here? Are we going to be a little bit different than we are now? I would say definitely. The fullness of the Christian life. This is a prayer for that. Lay hold of it. It was given to us. Use it, I guess I would say. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. How much more shall the Father give good gifts to those who ask? How much more shall the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? I may be misquoted, but in any case, He's given us this prayer. Make it part of your petitions for yourself and others, and trust the one who gave us the prayer to answer it. May God bless this to you. He's made it a burden in my heart. I'm praying it. I don't know if you've seen it before, but I think it's very important. It's a gem kind of tucked in there. If you guys want fullness in your life, if you're kind of thinking, you know, yeah, I believe in the Lord, but I'm kind of just, you know, I'd like to be closer to Him. There it is. There's your door. Again, may God bless us. It's a bound prayer. Lord God, we thank You for giving us the riches. We have everything in Christ. But Lord, as You've shown us here, it's like we really need You to grant us these things in a, whether it be a greater sense, a more full sense, we don't know. But nonetheless, Lord, we know we haven't arrived. And we ask You, please, Lord, strengthen us in the inner man. Each one here. By Your Spirit, strengthen us, Lord. Let Christ dwell in our hearts by faith. Lord, let Your Spirit give us His Word when in due season when we need it. Be near, Lord. You said, abide in Me and I in you. Lord, we acknowledge this. Oh, we need it. We need You in us. Lord, let us be rooted and grounded in love. Away with duty, religious duty. Not that we don't want to do the duty, but Lord, we want the higher ground. We know You desire truth in the inward parts. Lord, let us comprehend all that You've given us, all Your the love, the breadth and length and depth and height. Lord, let us have that intimate union of You to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. And Lord, we want this fullness. And oh God, You said You can even answer beyond all these things. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.